I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
We want to thank Factor for sponsoring Play Retro. Get Factor and enjoy eating well with fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered straight to your door. Ready in just 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. Head to factormeals.com/retro50 and use the code RETRO50 to get 50% off.
Which Pokemon has bumpers and flippers? All of them. Introducing Pokemon Pinball, now with its own rumble feature for Game Boy Color. The new way to catch them all.
Oh, catch them all. The new way. Catch them all. Catch the ball.
Catch them all. Catch the ball.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Play Retro. That's right. This is Play Retro. I am one of your hosts, Scott Johnson, and I like all my balls to be digital. Screw real steel balls. They're dumb. I want my balls to do things only possible in a video game. Not that your balls are that bad. I just have very strong standards about where my digital balls go and what they do. Digital balls for life.
We have big balls. We have the biggest balls of all, Scott. Oh. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and maybe I ain't no pinball wizard. But ever since I was a young boy, I sure played a mean 8-bit pixball. Bumpers, kickers, and launchers are the names of the things. Learned that from the manual. And flipping big balls is my game. Now pardon me while I shoot my shot with Elvira, Mistress of Darkness, and Queen of the Atari Lynx video pinball scene. And my 12-year-old libido.
Your little old libido. Remember him?
My little old libido.
He was a cutie.
Poor guy. I remember him so fondly.
He used to have real sway over me.
Yeah. He occasionally calls up and I'm like, ah, man, I can't talk right now.
Yeah. He's seen some shit.
Yeah, I'm too busy. He's like, why have you forgotten me?
Yeah, don't forsake me, he says. Anyway, hey, we're back. We got a whole thing to do about old pinball, 8-bit, 16-bit, maybe a little 32-bit. Video game versions of pinball. I've said this on the show before and I'll say it again. I like those better than real pinball. Sorry, it's just me. I mean, I like a good pinball machine. I respect them. I'd love a house full of them. There's something about the physicality of them. Video game pinball doesn't exist without physical pinball. So this is not me besmirching it. It's just I would rather play a game where my limitations aren't real world. In other words, you can get creative. You can have me go places I would never go on a physical table. You can have me do things a physical table could never let me do. And I like that. I like that a lot as an extension. So we'll talk about that, whether that's...
I like how you put your feelings up front, and I can't wait to crush your feelings with my feelings.
Listen, Mr. Physical Pinball Man, forget it.
Physical Pinball Man.
That's a guy. I love that song. Anyway, we're going to talk all about that in a minute. Before we do, I want to give a big shout out to Celtic in the chat room. Well, I don't know if he's in the chat, but he's definitely in our community. He is awesome because without me having any idea this was happening, I go to my PO box and I got a box and I bring it home and I open it up and I see a little thing in there and I'm like, what's this about? And I open up this letter, a very nice letter from him. He sent me this sort of Switch Steam Deck. Whatever I want to charge with it, but it works really well with a Steam Deck. It's like a combo charger and docking device with multiple high-speed connections, high-speed charging, low-speed charging if you have a device that needs that. The thing's only this big, and it's great, and I love it, and it feels like it's made out of, like, like power and life. It's heavy and
power tight. And life. So is it hot?
It's not hot at all. In fact, it doesn't heat up really at all.
Is it cool then? It's kind of like a cool brick.
What's cool about it mostly is I can get rid of the charging brick entirely, and this will work for that, plus do all this other stuff while I use it. Like it can charge other stuff, do other things, work with the dock I have, like whatever I want. And I didn't know this was coming. It just showed up.
So nice. And who is this again? Because I would need to give them guilt for not sending me. Where's mine at?
No. Celtic is his name. Celtic or Celtic.
No. You sent it to the one that you loved. You've made your claim. It's fine.
He put his flag in the dirt. He knows who he likes.
It's fine.
It's either Celtic or Celtic. It's possible he's a Celtic fan.
He doesn't even know your name. Drake messaged me.
He's either a big fan of like Irish history or he likes a basketball team, and I don't know which. Right. But huge thanks to him because it made my day. That was really nice.
That's awesome.
Also, I learned a little retro fact today. It's not all that retro. It's kind of modern, but it speaks to a very retro thing. Pac-Man, what was it? What did we determine the other day? 40 years old or whatever it is when we covered it?
Yeah. Pac-Man has a fever. He's 40 years old, right? Is that the
deal? Something like that. Anyway. I did some math, and the game between, at least this was the trackable data, between its inception in 1981 or 80, whatever it was, and not today, but 2016. So it's been some years.
Right.
$14 billion in revenue just for Pac-Man games.
$14 billion. That is a rich puck.
And it doesn't include Miss Pac-Man, Baby Pac-Man, any of that offshoot shit. It's just anything where
Wait. Where does that money go to?
To Namco. They get all that money. Are you kidding?
Oh, okay. So I was just getting concerned. There's, you know, the family thing here, and I just want to make sure that Pac-Man wasn't screwing over Ms.
Oh,
Pac-Man.
I see. Yeah. No, he's got Baby Pac-Man to get through college at this stage. The older one is he flunked out. He's a turd, that teenage one.
He's a turd.
And then what else?
Which one is that? Which one? Pac-Man Jr.? Which one is...
Was that his name? Who was his name? He had a name, and
couple of them, right? Doesn't he have, like, two children?
Yes, he has two kids. He has Baby Pac-Man, and he has, just Junior? Is the one with the sideways red hat?
I think that's right.
It's like a 90s kid.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name. Is it Junior? It might just be Junior.
He's got to be Junior.
If you play the SNES game Pac-Man 2, or Adventure 2, whatever it's called, that game features that kid. So you can go look at it. Anyway, they just made a lot of money, and I was very impressed. And somebody said, oh, Mario smiles in your direction. I'm like, okay, look, first of all, of course. All right. But second of all, the important thing is not that Mario's bigger or better or more renowned. It's that Pac-Man, this stupid little pizza-shaped yellow thing, went as far as it did. It's incredible. It's a huge thing to do that. And it's basically Namco's mascot, because what else do they have? You know?
Right.
Who else is Namco going to be? Mappy or some shit?
Nam Man. They'll do like a Capcom thing. Yeah.
We had a lot of people write in about how they played.
Yeah, people love the Captain Commander. Captain Commando?
Captain Commando, I think. Isn't that it?
He's going Captain Commando.
Yeah, that's what we have in our notes here on 84. I think that's right. But yeah, he went Captain Commando and everyone played it except
Captain
us.
Captain Commando, he's going. Got no clothes on.
I felt a little stupid because...
He just got his captain's hat on.
Yeah, that's what he does. He's the captain. Yeah. He's the captain.
Captain.
Anyway,
look at my crunch berries.
That's what happened to me. What did you do? Did you do anything fun?
Oh, yes. Let me see what I did. I went out and did it. Okay, so we talked a couple of weeks ago. We talked about that 8-bit do retro looking keyboard and mouse that's about to come out, right? That's coming out. Excited. It'll be the end of this month. Well, I couldn't wait because they had a flash sale, I say, over on the Amazon. And I had to pick up this thing right here. Well, I didn't have to, but I did. Mechanical keyboard. It is
Click it.
Oh, so this is these are brown. Yeah, these are brown keys. Can you hear these brown keys?
Yes, Mrs. Wilson. Yeah. To hold all my calls. I'll be busy in here with my clicking keyboard. That's amazing.
So these are not. You know, this is my favorite switch. So these are brown switches behind these keys. They are replaceable. This is the RK Royal. And I picked it up off Amazon for $69.99, and it lights up. It does the Bluetooth. It does the 2.4 gigahertz, or is it megahertz? Whatever it is, it does the dongle, as well as you can plug it in with a USB-C. Yeah. So you can get one of those little curly Q adapters. And I got one of those on order. Mm. It's on the way. It's also white. And then I got this mouse to match it. Oh, look at this. Look at this Gundam looking mouse, too, boy. It's all these nice whites.
Transform into a slick car or something. That's
cool. Look at that. It all looks real good and sexy. The mouse was like $12. And I was like, $12 mouse? I'm not going to waste my time ordering a $12 mouse. I've had a $12 mouse before. It's going to be shit. This mouse is nice.
Yeah, it looks all right.
It does pretty good. And all the reviews are pretty good. And so far, I've had no problems with it. It's kind of
Are you
going to
use this stuff? Like plug it into something? What are you going to use it on?
Yeah, totally. So I've got a Windows 95 machine. It's a physical Windows 95 machine. And so I'm hooking it up to that. That's what I'm doing. It also sometimes will plug into my Mr. FPGA so that I can do some of the DOS and Windows games on their DOS games. Because it's got DOS mouse support.
Of course.
But yeah, I mean, I'm really digging these so far. This mouse is M6PINPHC. What is this thing? I don't know. Anyway, it's pretty cool. If you're interested and want to know what this thing is, I'll shoot it. I'll post a link somewhere. But if you're not, if you're like, I don't want to look at no stupid meese. But I thought it had like a kind of had like a almost a future retro kind of look to it. It doesn't look like an IBM or anything, right?
This looks like? It looks like a keyboard I'd find in Starfield, which I'm playing right now.
Exactly.
Like
it's future retro though. Look at that.
Yeah, this is like Nostromo, like Ridley Scott movie 1975. You know, looking ass shit, and I love it. Huge fan.
Yeah, all the keys are replaceable as well as the hot swappable with the. With the switches, I like blue. I have one that's I like brown. I have one that's blue, and it's annoying. I like it, but it's annoying. Mm. But this has a nice chonk to it. It doesn't go chonk, clunk. It just goes chonk.
Chonk is good. Chonk. You only want the chonk.
I like the chonk.
Hold on.
Like
give me the brand again so I can tell people where. What is it?
This is the RK Royal Kludge.
Oh, so is RK it Kludge Royal, or Kludge? Kludge?
Yeah. K-L-
It might be
Kludge.
I think that's Kludge. Kludge. Yeah.
Kludge. Kludge. Are we really having this conversation?
Oh, they got all kinds of shit in here.
Oh, they got tons of stuff. And it's a really good feeling keyboard too. It's got the feet on the back that you can like adjust at two different levels.
Yeah. Mm.
I might have to
grab one of these. I like it.
Made in China. Ah. Yeah. Oh.
Well, that's. Hey, I have some news for you about Amazon and most of the things you buy there.
Right.
Lots
I got
of stuff.
News for you that sometimes even when you buy something that says made in the USA, that sometimes it's made in China anyway.
Yeah. Don't believe everything you read.
Right.
It's all worth
it. Ain't that a bunch of crap?
That's true.
But that was the one thing I did. I love it and I can't wait. And I am going to order that 8-bit do retro mechanical keyboard that comes out later this month in September. Pretty excited about
that one's supposed to look like, or it does look like NES colors, right?
Right. Now that one, yeah, looks like a Famicom color. So,
yeah, that's what it is.
And it's got it's got two big giant buttons for some reason that you can program. There is a mouse that you can get that is also thematically the same. It looks interesting. I'm excited about messing around with that. I don't know why I got into a keyboard kick there for a while. I guess the same reason why I got into a VHS kick lately. By the way, cross promotion this weekend on FilmSack. I'm going to probably create my patron sack episode this weekend, and it's probably going to have to do with my recent experiences with VHSs. Yeah.
Yeah.
All about the video cassette tapes.
I love it. Hey, when this 8-bit do comes out, I assume you want the Famicom colors, right? You don't want the NES?
They'll totally get the Famicom colors. That is a no-brainer.
Tempted.
It's a no-brainer.
I mean, the thing that reminds me of my experience, the nostalgia factor, is with the NES colored one. But I really like the look of the Famicom one a lot more.
It is so sexy. What is that? A dark red, like a scarlet maroon. Almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got like real pure reds on the NES version one, which looks good. It's got those grays. But, you know, they were really trying. The Famicom, as we know, released in Japan, was colorful and like a toy because that's what worked in Japan. In the U.S., they were trying to avoid anything that smelt of, you know, video game crash. And they didn't want it to look like a bunch of kid toys. They want it to look like an entertainment system. Mm-hmm. And so we got something that I guess is their impression of what a VCR looks like. Mm. That's what the NES is supposed to be. It's supposed to look like a VCR of sorts.
It's kind of boring.
It's very boring, but that's fine. It still works just fine.
It is what it is. It's what we had. It's all we had, but it's just kind of boring if you look at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too long.
But you know,
now the Super NES, I actually like more than the Super Famicom. I like that better.
I'm agree with you. The super looks good. Oh, did I show you the Nintendo stuff? Hold on a second.
Yeah, move your camera. Can you show me or switch cameras? What do you got there?
Yeah, let me see here.
Sorry for those not watching live. Look at this.
Ooh, right. So just imagine this. Let's get into where their manual. Okay, so I'm setting up my Nintendo section here. I've got my NES. Just in the last few weeks, I've got that gun in. Of course, it's a GameCube controller there, but that's something totally different. But I got that NES over there, the 8-bit system. And then on this side, I've got the Super NES where we played Super Ghouls and Ghosts last week. And then I have my N64 sitting here right in the middle. I've got some stands. I get a 3D print, make this look a little nicer. And then we're going to hit some N64 stuff, hopefully in not too far future. So
yeah.
Well, I'm getting that set up.
We got things to cover on that device.
We got things to cover. So it's getting closer. I got to get my lighting right over there. And once I do, it's going to be sexy.
Sexy hot.
Sharp.
Sexy hot.
Sharp.
Well, anyway, there you go, folks. Ooh. That's a little update on what we did during our retro week. Tell us what you're doing these days when you send us your emails and your texts and things. That's always fun to hear from you. Let's do this now.
Shall we play a game?
We shall indeed play a game. Actually, a lot of them.
We will play many multitudes of games. Remember last week when we said, wow, there sure are a lot of baseball games.
Yeah.
What we should do is see if we can top that and see how many pinball games there are.
Yeah, because there's more than you think. A lot more than you'd think. And good news, next week, we won't talk about it yet, but next week's going to be very narrow focused.
Right.
This one's a little bit more like, hey, we're going to scattershot a few of these. And some of these are some of my favorite games ever made. Some of these I've never freaking heard of. So we've got a real mix here of retro video game pinball games. We're talking 80s, 90s, the best, the worst. What makes one good? Is it all physics? Is it... does physics even matter? Some people tell me that I'll only play one of those if it feels like a real table. But I don't know. I played things like the Kirby one, Kirby's Pinball Life. What's it called? Shit.
Right. Pinball. I love that you can never remember what the
Pinball
Kirby
Land.
Is. Kirby's Pinball Land.
Yeah. Right. Kirby's Pinball Land is amazing, but I wouldn't call it the most accurate ball physics ever. So no.
Kirby is really inflating those balls a lot. It's not even close. Because, of course, Kirby is the ball in that game. So.
He is indeed. And we'll talk about one because it's one of my favorites. And I like when Nintendo in particular veers away from what you usually think of as, you know, what is pinball? I don't know why this thing's just a bunch of A's sitting up here. This is the wrong video.
Is this the Fonz pinball game? There was a Fonz pinball game.
It's supposed to be Raster Blaster, but it ain't.
Wow, that is weird. Was that the video? What happened there?
I don't know.
It seems to be doing something, but the whole video wasn't like 20 minutes of... Just, A's.
It's like the start A's. Test screen or something like that.
You just got punked is what happened.
I don't know what happened there. Raster?
But we're starting there at the Raster Blaster because it was the first real attempt at bringing something home that we recognize is video game pinball. It's a very simple one. And we can thank Bill Budge. Is it Bill Budge or Bill Budgie?
Bill Budge, I believe, is how you say it.
Okay, Budge. Sure. Okay, so. Yeah, so this was one coming to the Apple II, and the Apple II really led the charge with where video pinball games were going to go to, and for at least for a good two or three, maybe even four games. So there you go. So you got to pull it up now. It's not just A's.
Yeah, this is real. So I played this on my Apple IIe that I had way back in the day. And I remember thinking, it's never going to get better than this. Good Lord, what an amazing game. These balls are like real balls. They're falling like real balls do. They bounce and go the way they're supposed to. Like, to me, this was mind-blowing. It's really simple compared to what we have now, but it's fun.
I mean, it's what you'd expect. It's all the pinball basics. You got your launcher, you spludge that thing, and you shoot it up the road. It goes up, hits the top, bounces around a good bit, comes down. Maybe comes to your paddles, maybe just hits one of the slingshots, bounces back up, does a lot of tink, 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 a lot of brights, flashes. You hopefully get to use your flippers eventually, don't we? Yep. I do hope to eventually get to use my flippers in my pinball
game. At some point, there
game.
Will be flippers on your dinosaur tour, is what they say. But yeah, so, you play pinball. I mean, it's really straightforward. And it reminds me, the screen layout is almost identical to what the future Microsoft Windows 95 edition or whatever, Plus edition, whatever yes. that was called.
It looks a lot like Space Cadet that we got on the Windows 95, yeah. like you said, because it has this is a very popular format for a while. If you're not, okay, so you can't see what we're seeing right now, but if you've never thought about it, a pinball machine, a physical pinball machine, yep. is very long. It's much taller than any aspect ratio on a screen.
Right.
So what they've done is they've put on the left-hand side, they've put the somewhat a aspect ratio of what a pinball would be like on one side, and then you get all your scoring, players, and you know some art and that kind of stuff on the right-hand side. Right. So
they have Billy up in the corner here, which is meant to look like Bally's, I'm sure.
Bally looks, it looks exactly like Bally, right?
Yeah.
And I think this is probably because this was, I don't know this for a fact, but the same guy, he made something called Pinball Construction Set later on. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of exactly how this whole interface looks. And it was a game engine that allowed you to make your own pinball stuff.
Yeah, which
and
is
so I
really
think the
awesome.
Game engine was developed first, and then he got some released games. And then later on, he released it. Now, that's not a fact. That's me.
That's you. You're making conjecture, Brian.
Yeah. It feels like it.
Nothing wrong with a little conjecture here and there. Okay.
No, that's especially what if I admit that it's conjecture.
Let's jump right to that pinball construction set. So that was 81 for Raster Blaster. And then you get Pinball Construction Set in 83. Same dude. Now it's Electronic mm-hmm. Arts. The ball and the triangle. What is this? Arts, the square, the ball and the triangle. Oh, because you're describing EA.
I did that. That's the old EA. If you don't remember the old EA logo, it was a square.
It was stupid.
And then a ball and then a triangle. E was the square and the A was the triangle and the ball.
And I understand what they were trying to do and be creative. I get it, but come on. It was dumb.
But I loved it.
Anyway, this is a Mac. Yeah, it is a Mac game.
Yes, was this one on the Amiga? It was on the Mac. The Commodore 64, too, I believe, is DOS.
Yeah, I think all that era, if you had a computer at that time, you got one. If you had a mouse on that computer, this is what you were playing. Not with a mouse, necessarily, but anyway. This was cool because... they built a game that you could go and make your own shit. Think about what this would be like for a kid who was into this in the way that kids today are into Minecraft or something. Yeah.
Right.
Build your own. I mean, that must have felt like magic to these people. I never played it, but this, making your own damn boards. How cool is that?
It's so crazy right out the gate where they're going, you know what? We made some cool boards, but we're tired of making them. We're tired of making these stupid tables. Why don't you make them? And that's exactly what he did. They, because really all it is just all the components that we talked about earlier. You got your flippers. It's all basic pinball stuff that you may have never thought about. You get your bumpers, your kicker. Your bumpers are your things at the top usually. You fire your steel ball from your launcher and it flies up to the top, and then it has to lose a little momentum before it comes straight down, because it'd be a very boring game if it didn't. So it hits a couple of bumpers on the way down. And then maybe it'll hit a slingshot and pop back up and do some more points gathering for you. Yep. And then eventually, just as you're about to fall asleep, it's coming towards me. And you got to jump on the flippers, right?
Yeah, flippers are important. You got to pay attention to the flippers. Look, the thing with pinball is the reason I don't care for physical machines that much is I feel like there's some really creative boards out there, no question.
Right.
Especially more modern ones where they can do some pretty wacky stuff. But at the end of the day, there is a lot of physicality limitations. You can only do so much with physics and so much with, a couple of mirrors and some weird sound effects. And that's kind of the best you can do. That doesn't mean you can't have a complex, amazing game. You can. But I preferred, this approach right here would have appealed to me like crazy if I knew it existed. I never even heard of it.
Right.
Until we started doing our research. But it would have been like, what? I can make my own freaking, are you kidding? Like, to me, that's the beauty of video games. It's the great frontier that video games are. It lets us do stuff we could never imagine doing otherwise. And I love that about this sort of thing. So this is not what I played, but I know there are some more modern iterations of pinball that let you do some of this, let you go in and make your own shit. And
And this was just one of the first ones, and it allowed you to you'd have a blank table, and you would have another set on the right hand side of the screen where you would have all the different elements, and you would just drag it and or put these different components onto the board however you wanted to. You'd end up making a lot of mistakes because you would, you know, you put too many bumpers or put them in a weird place, or you would the spacing would be wrong. You kind of got to fiddle around with it a little bit. And once you did all that and you made something that you thought was a clever game and, you know, maybe a little challenging, then you could actually export these. And if you could give it to a friend.
Yeah, on a disc. Three and a quarter inch floppy drive. Boom. You got it.
Boom. And then you could share. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was way too early for us to really be, maybe some bulletin boards and stuff. But I mean, what year was this? 83. There may have been there may have been some not sneaker network stuff, but yeah. Most of it was going to be using the sneaker network where you walk it to your buddy and go, here you go.
Yeah, here you go, buddy. Take this disc and put it in your machine.
Take it.
And it was easy to pop.
You've been hacked.
You could even, you know, pirate those games real easy back then.
Oh, I went down a whole rabbit hole because when they were talking about some of these things, they were talking about how they was selling them and how the hackings and all that stuff was going on. It's a huge amount of hacking going on during the 8-bit personal computers that you may not be aware of.
Oh yeah.
There was a whole hack scene that was just, it's huge. It's huge.
Here's what this game sounded like a little bit. Let's see here. Here's the plunger.
Now the one you're looking at does not like the color one. The DOS version.
Yeah, there's a color version of this, right?
I played with the DOS version. I'm not sure which one you did, but the DOS version allowed you some neon blue and neon pinks and some whites and things. So you can kind of color stuff up a little bit. You have ball holes. So like, you know how when you're playing pinball, one of the most exciting times when you're playing pinball is when your ball lands in a hole and just sits there.
Yeah.
What's it going to do? Yeah. I don't know. Is it going to kick it back out? When's it going to happen? And then it comes flying out at you. That's that you can put those in there as well. As you may not know this, Scott, but, pinball machines sometimes use magnets to mess with the physics. Yeah. So you could do magnet. You can actually do magnets in this as well.
Could you? Can you nudge it to like you almost tilt the thing but nudge it?
I'm trying to remember. I think you can nudge it. That's when we try to. If you're not familiar with pinball, nudging is when you're trying to physically move the machine, and the risk is that there's sensors in the machine that can make it tilt, and then you wouldn't be able to move your flippers, and then you would lose your ball.
Yeah, it's just close to cheating, but you just have to be careful. And usually it isn't cheating. It's like the ball is up on top of a bumper thing or something. It's hanging there and won't move. So you got to be like...
It's typically not considered cheating. It's only considered cheating if the sensor catches you.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
And it's not even cheating. So bumping is perfectly allowable as far as I know, unless you've got some kind of rules when you're playing against somebody. But I don't know. But that was always the fun part about pinball, period, to me, was getting the high score. You want to get the high score. You want to get over a million a lot of times.
That's the point.
Whatever you can get over the million, get some extra balls in there. I'll tell you, the thing I love about pinball and the reason why, kind of hard for me to see in the 8 and 16-bit era, it's kind of hard for me to go, yeah, I'll take this over real pinball, because real pinball does some really amazing themes and sounds that I just wasn't getting to in the 8 and 16-bit era. I'm not saying that later stuff didn't do it. Once we get out of sprites and start getting into polygons, there may be some difference.
I think even like there. Game Boy Advance, 32-bit sound era.
Right.
I think we got a lot closer to that stuff.
Oh, absolutely. The sound, definitely.
But also, I mean, we'll get to Kirby. Kirby's important.
Yeah. Scott, just Kirby your enthusiasm. I'm Kirby-ing okay? We'll get enthusiasm. To it. We'll get to it.
All right, Brian, I'm going to take just a second here and talk about our friends over at Factor. Boy, howdy, do I love Factor. Factor is great. You want to save some time. You want to eat well. You want to stay on track with your healthy lifestyle. Well, Factor is America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, and I can testify to its awesomeness. It can help fuel you up fast with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. If you head to factormeals.com/retro50 and use retro50 as your code, you'll get 50% off. It's a pretty good deal. You're too busy this fall to cook, but want to make sure you're eating well? Well, with Factor, skip the extra trip to the grocery store and the chopping and the prepping and the cleaning up, all that stuff, while just getting the flavor and nutritional value you need. Factor's never frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes. So all you have to do is heat and enjoy, and then get back to crushing those fall goals. All right? Level up with Gourmet Plus options as well, prepared to perfection by chefs and ready to eat in record time. Treat yourself to upscale meals with premium ingredients like broccolini, leeks, truffle butter, and asparagus. That all sounds really good. I had the pork chop one the other day. I could eat that every frickin' day. Anyway, with Factor, you can just rest assured you're making a sustainable choice. They offset 100% of their delivery emissions, source 100% renewable electricity for their production sites, all their offices, and feature sustainability when sourcing seafood in all their meals. They're great. You'll be greater if you eat there or eat them. Head to factormeals.com/retro50 and use code retro50 to get 50% off. That's code retro50 at factormeals.com/retro50 to get 50% off. Okay.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Here's what we're going to do next. We're going to talk about Pinbot, which is not a name I expected to see because I always thought it was called something else. But it came out on the NES, and I played this at a friend's house. I didn't own this business.
Right.
I think this may have been the first version of pinball that kind of went wide, meaning it wasn't just some weird thing on someone's friend's computer. This is a game that you could, you know, find just about anybody who liked pinball. A lot of dads bought this to play on their NES. And who's to blame them, right? Pinball. Check it out.
Who's to blame them? I mean, even the marketing, some sexy hot robot lady.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
Sign me up.
Sign me up for your sexy hot robot lady. Let's hear a little bit of this little sound. Oh, very futuristic. So this is an interesting idea compared to some of the other games. There's always an issue of scrolling versus not scrolling. Cutting to the top part of the board in a flash, and then when the ball goes low enough, you flash to the bottom part of the board. Or like you said earlier, one side of the screen is this small representation of the board, like the Windows one, and then some score stuff over here and a logo. So it felt like every game was taking a different tact to get this job done. In this game, it does this thing where right where the flippers start is where it splits. And so if you get low enough, it all joins. But if you go higher than that, your flippers stay in the view, but it's like a camera cuts to a split screen, and now you're looking at the upper thing. What's impressive about this is because most NES pinball games did the cut to the top, not the transition or the scroll, because scrolling was hard.
It's expensive, especially when you've got so much going on screen. It's hard to... The NES was just barely able to scroll with platformers slowly bringing in elements from the left to right hand on the side of the screen. This we're talking about. Whoa, we're talking about flashing lights, sprites, and everything. We got all kinds of stuff going on here. Trying to render that in and off the screen, that's going to be tough.
Yep. Physics are pretty good. I like how the ball feels in this game.
Yeah.
I think even the music and the sound effects, which I'll now show again.
Game is a marvel.
Yeah.
I mean, this game blew my mind away when I looked and saw this was on the NES. I was like, holy shit, this is an 8-bit pinball game? If you just went back like 6 years prior and looked at the vanilla version of pinball that was released. So we talked about this last week with Nintendo when they released baseball. Ooh, that's the name of the game. Yes. And this is basic and just sets all the rules up of what we're going to do.
Right.
They had a pinball version in 1984, basic as can be, nothing special.
Yep.
And then we get Rare involved and they made this Pinbot, and it is a real good attempt at bringing a real life Williams arcade pinball game, also called Pinbot, to life
without the flickering, without the jitter and stuff. Like, again, we talked about this Ken Griffey Jr.
It is a marvel.
Another Rare game, right? That's 16-bit, but right. Still, Rare was good at making stuff better than the platform it was on.
Yeah,
like they're so good. We just think of them, oh, GoldenEye, and you know, a million other things. But man, these guys, this is an achievement. It's huge.
We're looking at multi-balls right now. We have just about every color on the Nintendo palette using dithering. I mean, they just did everything. It looks dark. It looks moody. Everything feels right. The only thing that is hindering it, in my opinion, is the stupid bottom fourth of the screen having to scroll up and down.
You have to get used to it. Yeah,
it's real hard to get used to.
It's not my favorite.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I'll take partial scrolling over many of them, which were just full on cut. I hate that.
Right.
I hate that.
And the only other options were that. It was either, this was the best solution out of all the shit solutions that were possible.
Back then, for sure.
You could have scrolled it, you could have jump screened it, or you could have just made it really small and hard to see.
Yeah.
And they went with this solution, and it's probably the best solution. It's still just not a good solution.
It's about the best you could do. But I remember thinking this was neat and watching it, playing it now on an AmberNick little screen.
Yeah.
It looks great. Plays great. It looks awesome. Good. Yep.
Yeah.
So let's move on from that one. That's a very cool game. But now we're going to get into an area where things got serious. And I'm happy to report that one of my favorite pinball games of all time, Devil's Crush, is on our list. And it should be on everyone's list. This game showed up on the TurboGrafx-16 first in 1990. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure there's a Genesis version of this floating around.
Yeah, look at this. This is when pinball started getting real for me.
Yeah, dude. This game's still very good.
Naxxit Pinball.
Yep. Check it out. So this is the second in the Crush series. There was the Alien Crush and Devil's Crush. Devil's Crush is considered the ultimate.
Right.
The other one's fine, but...
Yeah, Jack Crush is not bad. It's got a whole bunch of imagery that's kind of even more disturbing than what we see here in the Devil's Crush. But still,
Devil's Crush,
Devil's Crush.
So, Demon Tilt is a game that's new. Well, okay, a couple years old now, and their brand new one Xeno Tilt just came out, which is a lot more like Alien Crush. But anyway, these games that I'm playing now, these modern ones, which I'll recommend at the end of the show again, so you all know where to get them, are in this. Those games are 100% inspired by this. That big floating lady head in the middle, they just do it in Demon's Tilt. It's fantastic.
I love how she's asleep, and the more you hit her, because she's, you know, they're using her as the bumpers in this one, right? So that she takes that place. The character designs are all just amazing, moody, thematic, just spot on. I love a good, just take it to the limit theme. When you're doing your pinball, I want everything on that pinball. I want it to feel like a tiny little world.
That's
right?
Why this is my favorite, or one of my favorites. Yeah. And the reason I like video game pinball over real, these little dudes walking around, you don't do that shit in physical, you know, tables. Like, I love that. There's RPG elements. They're light, but they're there.
Right. And there's literal damage being dealt.
Yep.
Destructive objects, even objects that are, you know, as you hit them, they become more haggard and more bloody.
Mm-hmm.
This one really speaks to the badass era.
Great sound.
16-bit, right?
That's that TurboGrafx-16 sound.
Look at that skull. Look at his eye and got his mouth open.
Yep.
Look at that.
It's cool.
He is saying, feed me with my spaghetti hair. Why does he got spaghetti hair? I don't know, but still.
And the lady's he's hitting him enough. This lady's getting all vampiric.
Yeah, she's waking up. Yep. Basically, you're waking up. Why are you waking her up?
Yep.
Now, if you get, and this is one of those, this one kind of goes a little bit between some of the things we talked about. So this does scroll, but what it does is it scrolls fast to the areas you need to be in.
Yeah.
So it's not like a slow scroll up like some of these are. It's your ball is up here, so we're gonna pop you up here, but we're gonna start slow, move fast, and then slow down before we stop.
Yeah.
And so
Genesis the TurboGrafx-16 were both very good at doing this. This kind of gameplay was great for those two machines. The Nintendo or the Super Nintendo in the 16-bit era did not look as good when scrolling. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to say, it just didn't.
It wasn't good at that, but it sounded so good. Oh my god, the things I heard on the SNES this week for these. Pinball games was amazing. Also, by the way, we're playing video game pinballs. So it's unlike a real pinball game where it's trying to take your quarters. They want you to complete the task. So you're you're trying to get to bosses essentially and trying to you know fight your way all the way through. So they're real generous with the little the side alley shootbacks. So like when if you accidentally fall down a side alley on a pinball machine, usually you'd get the first one free, right? And it'd kick your ball back out. Right. It'd kick it right out. Right. But no, but here there's a lot of stoppers and it just happens from time to time and it keeps you from losing your ball as much because you're really here to get it up a couple of levels, including getting into special secret rooms and things, getting those special secret rooms, and you just go to town and just blow it.
Yeah, it's not the other reason that you lose your ball so much in real pinball is because that's how they keep getting quarters from you. Like it's part of the business model, not the creative model. Whereas the video games could say, maybe we don't have you fall down that alley so often. Maybe you're in the game more often because you just gave us $40 and you know. And
But if you're into aliens, get Alien Crush. I don't think it's as good. You're into Devil's Crush, kind of that cult kind of vibe, Devil's Crush is the way to go.
Agree.
If you're looking at I think it's called Jackie is spelled Jackie, J-A-K-I, which is, I think, evil spirit in Japanese or something like that. I'm pretty sure I'm not right about that. But you get the idea. There's a lot of spirits in that one. So those are the three tables that you can kind of choose from. They're different games, but each one of them has their own motif and it kind of plays similar for the most part.
So you might have been like me and thought that the next one on our list, Crew Ball, was made by the same people. I thought for the longest time, same developers that made the Devil Crush game made that. The answer is I was wrong. It is not them.
No.
And you wouldn't be confused or you wouldn't be surprised to think the same because they just have a lot in common visually. But Crew Ball, literally a Motley Crue pinball game.
Yeah.
You know, the band back when we thought they were cool and, you know, hair bands were cool and all that. But they accidentally...
Yeah, this was 1992, baby.
Yeah, they kind of had a sort of dumb IP, but made an accidentally or otherwise made an incredible pinball game around it. And I think the
pinball game is pretty solid. Some people say it's kind of boring, but
disagree.
It really speaks to my early 90s nostalgia and everything about it. I thought it was compelling. I found everything about it to be compelling.
The only complaint I have is I think the ball is too heavy.
The ball is very heavy. Yeah. I think they need to lower the back legs in this thing, man, because it comes down at you really fast.
But this thing is so like of its time, the way it looks and sounds.
Originally it was going to be called Twisted Flipper. So I was curious. I was like, surely they weren't going to call it Crew Ball and then have the crew stuff and then call it Twisted Flipper. Surely they were going to have Twisted Sister themed instead. And then we'd have a bunch of 16-bit Twisted Sister songs instead of Crew songs, by the way.
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
They're not bad. Bit. Yeah. It's not bad.
Yeah.
You can go to YouTube and listen to all the songs on their own without playing the game. They're pretty great. You want to hear Smoking in the Boys Room, but in the style of a 16-bit chip processor?
Yeah.
Good news. Gotcha.
And
covered.
This game is very good about letting the ball do some work on its own, but then rewarding you because the flippers are very solid. They have a real good hit. And it will bounce around a lot of flashing. These are some of the things that I look for when I'm playing a pinball game. I want it to be sensory overload, and I want it to be loud, and I want there to be, you know, music and ding, 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 ding. The more times that ball hits things, the more excited I am. Look at that. They went straight. Went straight to the heavens with that. If you're going to say
that those are the reasons that's the kind of stuff you want out of it, you know, lots of flash, lots of whatever, I have such great news for you later in the show because I have the perfect stuff for you to spend your money on right now.
Oh, totally.
That will
and this is more.
That.
This is more the weird ass shit you would get. So here's a Motley Crue album cover come to life, right?
Yep. And they're playing. They're basically playing Pong or not Pong Breakout.
No, Breakout. Yeah, they're playing Breakout, which is funny because
it's a bonus level.
That's how Breakout got its start. Breakout kind of got its start. Is kind of almost a pinball clone, right? That was kind of that whole vibe.
Well, the idea is here's a ball, here's physics. That ball's going to knock out some stuff. Like, it's the same idea. But they did it as a bonus level in here, and video games have this option, right? That their bonus levels don't have to be A, on the same board, number one, or B, even remotely like regular pinball. They can kind of get weird.
Right.
And that's what this one does. And I like that.
And it gets really weird. And yeah. I personally, I appreciate all the variety because I never felt like I was doing the same thing over and over again, which some of these pinball games felt that way, which is fine if you're trying to grind out a high score. You want things to be all kind of the same, right?
Yeah.
But
if, missing,
I like
if anything's
pinball.
Missing from these, I think, is they would benefit, and some later do, we talk about it, but they'd benefit from more tables than just the one or the two tables.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to see a whole bands, you know, just different bands. But here we got the little feet walking around with the little, with the pokey, the skull, and got worms, tequila worms, I'm assuming.
Yeah, probably.
All right.
Probably, because those guys were gross. I'm surprised Tommy Lee's wiener's not in this, for real.
It might be. Maybe just hadn't got that far yet.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what's sticking out of that little hole over there. No, those are brains.
These are brains. We were awful close to like Nirvana and grunge and all that. So
yeah.
This one,
Oh man, how depressing would a Nirvana one been?
Right? Like a Teen Spirit board? That'd be dumb.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Could eat my cancer, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah, I like it. That's Crew Ball, and it's kind of dumb and great at the same time. So I would recommend it. Here's one a ton of people think is the best. And Brian, you agree with them, maybe, possibly.
It is definitely one of the best. But when you start getting to the best of these, it kind of just becomes preferences because all of them really shine in different ways. And Pinball Dreams was a whole new pillar of what we're going to see going forward. They really set some new standards.
Yeah, it's pretty good, I have to admit. This is an Amiga game, I believe, of the first iteration.
Originally started out as an Amiga game.
I think that's right. Yes, there it is.
Amiga. Digital Illusions originally for the Amiga.
And
Dreams.
Didn't have Amiga, so I never saw this.
You got it later on other things, but yeah.
Yeah. It showed up in other stuff. But I remember hearing about this game. Never got a chance to play it back then. Played it here recently. Mm-hmm. Pretty good. I think what I like most about it is it feels real and gamey at the same time. It's hard to explain what I mean by that. You know what I'm saying?
No, it makes perfect sense. It's almost like a simulation, but it also feels arcadey, which is kind of weird to say. Because pinball and arcade would be the reality, but I think you nailed it.
They're straddling the perfect little space there, and they do a pretty good job of it.
And you're playing the Ignition board table, so that's perfect timing.
Yeah, and this had this had many tables, didn't it?
Yeah, this had. I think this one started out with four, which was Ignition, which was the one you're playing now, which is like space theme. Steel Wheel, I think is that the train one? There's the beatbox, and then there's the nightmare with the scary stuff. And this one does do multi-ball, by the way. I always appreciate when a pinball game gives me some multi-ball.
You gotta love multi-ball, dude. Steel Wheel, that's the other one. Steel Wheel.
Yeah, kind of an industrialized train, buy your ticket kind of thing, right?
Yeah. It's cool. It's a very different vibe. You're making me want to play this one. This looks like a lot of fun. Yeah, I only played a little bit of it, and so I haven't tried every board. But the fact that it included four, that was a treasure trove at the time. Nobody was doing that.
Right. Yeah. And this is a rightly observed in the chat room. That's what digital became was dice. This is a dice. This is dice.
Oh, I didn't know this was dice. Really?
Yeah.
Whoa. Look at them going making Battlefield after that. About 10 years later. Let's see. Hold on, let me think of when they did that. No, that would have been
about
10 years from
1992 is when we got the first one.
Yep.
Then we had Pinball Fantasies and Pinball Illusions, just bringing more boards. And for the most part, the same series, just a little bit better. A little, physics tweaks here and there and some different
boards. Oh my gosh, this is crazy to see. 92. So it was about it was about 11 years and they would make Battlefield and then change their whole trajectory forever.
Change everything.
But this is so much not like anything you'd think they would do. It's kind of like Rare games. It's like, whoa, they used to make that. Yeah. What the heck?
This is really good, though. But for learning, if you were trying to learn gaming fundamentals, you have pinball, which has decades and probably half a century's worth of, experimentation of stuff that works, that doesn't work. What a great way to, what's some shoulders to stand on to learn gaming theory. You know what I mean? And and how this stuff works. So it's a good place to start.
I agree. It's very cool. This is a good one. If you guys can find it, definitely worth playing. Pinball Dreams from 1992.
Yeah, Pinball Dreams, or you know, Fantasies and Wolves Illusions. I think you can get that. I think this one's on the is this one the Nintendo store? I almost picked this one up.
Pinball Dreams. Oh, this is on the SNES. Hold on.
Right. Yeah, it eventually made it to other platforms too.
Ball Dreams.
And ball of my dreams, and the physics were so good.
Yeah.
The music was so good. There's hardly, they hit all the good points. They gave you the multi-ball, they gave you the skill shots, they nailed the physics, they gave you interesting themes that weren't too overcrowded but weren't too sparse. They gave you some great music to go along with it. It's just a really solid game, and it gets good ratings all the time, and for good reason.
Okay, here are all the places. Amiga, originally. Atari Falcon, DOS, Game Boy, GBA. GBA version, I remember. Game Gear, CP32, iOS, OS X, PSN, and the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Did you say Game Boy in there?
I did.
I know it's a Game Boy.
Or Game Gear. Oh, wait, hold on. Yeah, Game Boy. Game Boy was published by Game Tech. And the rest were published by 21st Century Entertainment.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's that.
Game Tech. Oh.
Anyway.
Game Tech.
Worth your time. Now, one of my favorites. Let's turn this up. Look at this. All right. My only complaint about Kirby Pinball Land is that Kirby Pinball Land does not feature much scrolling. You have to kick the ball up, and then it'll switch camera to be up above and wherever the hell you went. But Kirby Pinball Land is one of my favorite pinball machine game or pinball video games for this simple reason. The game, it's like golf with Kirby's, what's that Kirby golf game on the Super Nintendo, whatever that's called. Same idea, right, though. You take this concept that we all know, hitting flippers, knocking a ball around, you know, not even that great of physics, a little floaty, but you're doing video game shit. Like, it's all about games, video game things that just happen to be controlled mostly by flippers. And for whatever reason, that was revolutionary to me, this idea. And it worked really well for me and what I wanted to play. And man, this game, there's a color version, I think, for GBA Color. I think they have that? Crap. They never made another one. I would have killed for one on the GBA. They never did it. This is still perfectly good. There's a little bit of flicker, which, you know, again, NES, Game Boy time. But it is awesome, dude. If you haven't spent any time with Kirby's Pinball Land, you're missing out on one of the better video game pinball games ever made, which I can say about almost every Kirby game. Every time I play a Kirby game, whatever the genre, whatever the twist, whatever the whatever, I always walk away going, freaking Kirby, dude.
Freaking that Kirby, dude.
He's great.
And he was a ball already, and that's what you're shooting around in those balls. It is Kirby, so he's a little bit larger on screen. It's kind of like, it reminds me of when you're playing like Super Pac-Man, where the Pac-Man gets larger than the walls. And so Kirby's always feels like he's a little bit outside the rails and the walls. And it's a lot of fun. It's got a lot of flash. It's challenging.
Hard, yeah.
And it pisses me off.
It's got boss, I liked it. It's got boss fights, or I guess special levels, if you want to call them that.
Yeah, so
that are very similar. It's very similar to the original Kirby games, like that tree,
right?
And you knocking apples off of it. I mean, it'll immediately remind you of, oh yeah, I played Kirby's Dream Land or whatever.
It's kind of like platforming vertically,
yeah.
Because you're rolling your balls and you're trying to get them to go further up, and then if you miss, here he comes. He'll come rolling straight down the middle sometimes. You can't stop him until he gets to the very bottom. And there's like he's Kirby. He's like in this, there's like some kind of platform at the bottom of the sewers. And, oh God, don't get me started on Sonic Pinball. Speaking of the sewers, but he'll follow you down to the bottom and you'll have one last chance to recover him. So if you ever have that anxiety of losing the ball in between the flippers, which happens in pinball, no need to fear. You have one final chance to screw it up, and I do every time.
Yeah, they at least give you that chance.
But they give you that chance.
Yeah, I can't say enough about this one. It's a wonderful game. It's old.
It is.
Dirt.
It uses Kirby game music. Uses Kirby characters. If you're a Kirby fan, you could go. You could not go wrong here with this Kirby pinball.
Yeah,
I'm with Scott on this. It's good.
I would really like it if Nintendo, I don't know, they don't care anymore. But if they made a new one of these or even just a remaster of it and it played like a new 3D game, I would play the living crap out of that.
Well, if you just want a different take on it, all you got to do is go to the progenitor, the Revenge of the Gator, which is also HAL Labs made this game. Yeah. Like what, 3 years before Kirby Pinball? Mm-hmm. Because guess what? It's just the same game, just skinned a little differently. So yeah, because they had a new idea for Revenge of the Gator, and then they just they shoved in Kirby and they moved right along. But the Revenge of Gator, same game basically.
Yeah, and they did that same thing, by the way, later with Mario Golf and that weird Japanese version of the game, which is identical except no Mario in it.
Yeah,
I forgot the name of it. And it was also connected to your cell phone or some weird thing like that. Let's jump ahead to one of the prettier games, I think, even in the entire Genesis library.
I knew nothing about this one before this week, and it rose to the top of the charts for me.
Yeah, it's cool.
Real fast.
It's real cool.
With a bullet.
Visually, it's crazy, but it's called Balls of Steel. Psycho Pinball. 94's Psycho Pinball came out in 1994. Codemasters, again, a company known for racing games what do they make now? Dirt and the Dirt.
Yeah, all the Dirt championship stuff. Love some Dirt games.
Anyway, they made a pinball game, and it is for the Mega Drive / Genesis. Four tables, one interconnected meta table of sorts.
This is where it gets fancy. That's where it's all important. You got like a hub world kind of thing, a meta table where you can go wherever you want to in the different tables. Instead of winning a table and then moving on to the next table, you kind of got like a little portal.
Yep. And the graphics are insanely fast in this game. And I think it's to its credit and its detriment because...
Thank you, Genesis Mega Drive.
You can really lose track of the ball.
Processing.
You can lose track of the ball, and it's kind of a bummer when you do that, but that's also pinball, so it's fine.
Yeah. But they do all my favorite theme stuff. They did a Wild West, a scary Halloween kind of thing, Abyss.
Yeah.
But look how nice and colorful this is. We're so into the 16-bit generation. It fills the full screen.
It feels like they're cheating, though. The color palette feels like they're cheating. Because
it really does.
This doesn't feel like the limited 64,000 color, or 64 color, rather. Genesis palette. It feels like way more than that.
Yep. 3D. I'm guessing pre 3D rendered, maybe, or just somebody's super freaking talented with some pixel art. Either way, it looks gorgeous. It pops so hard.
Yeah.
And I feel like the scrolling is just right.
The guy's
for me, and I love the physics of it too.
This guy's trying to shake the table and get stuff done.
Yeah, you can shake the table. That's what you gotta do. You gotta shake the table. Don't shake it too much. You gotta tilt.
Yeah. One complaint. It's beautiful. It's rendered amazingly. The sound's great. The gameplay is great. Here's my only complaint. They play it a little safe on what you can do. In other words, where's the gaminess? Right. Like you've got the option of not having to be limited to a physical location. So what are you doing to nutty it up a little?
Right.
And they don't really do that. They treat this board as if it's a physical board, all the boards. Really.
Right. Yeah, their gimmick here absolutely is the ability to cycle through the different boards. So none of the boards have to be incredibly fascinating because you have the abilities to just play, you know, right into the next level, just right into the next map if you want to.
Yep. It's pretty cool. That was cool. That is one to definitely keep your eye on if you're looking for a good one. Moving on, 3D Pinball Space Cadet, 1995. If you had Windows 95 Plus, then you had this shit.
This is my jam. I played some pinball games, but I played 3D Pinball Space Cadet. I mean, I played it like nobody's been. I can't even tell you the number of hours I put into 3D Pinball Space Cadet on the Windows, probably Windows 95, Windows 98. Every time I got a new machine, it's like, can I load it on this next one? I'm doing it.
Everything till 7, right? I think.
Everything until 7. I think that's right. And up until recently, I think you could actually download it from the store, but I don't know if that was an official Microsoft thing, but I did see it one time before. But I definitely played it some this week. This person is on the other one is really still shaking the board. But yeah, man, what did you think about this one? Did you have
well in the day? I loved it. It was a perfect, like, the boss is out of the office. I'm playing this for the next 20 minutes. That kind of game. My only real complaint is it's not very video gamey. It's kind of just a representation, a very good representation and rendering of a board or of a table. And it's very physical and it feels like it's photorealistic in a lot of ways. Right. Still to this day, I can't believe how good it looks.
The thing that we're doing here is I don't believe anything is 3D specifically, but once we get into the polygons, things really start changing. They did the thing that I love. One of the problems with most of these pinball games is top down. When you're playing pinball, you're not really top down. You're kind of at an angle, right? Because the ball's got to have, you know, the table's got to be angled so that the ball can come down, you know, gravity and that sort of thing. So all the top down ones felt a little bit odd to me. I actually like the fact that there's like a, you know, a vanishing point almost at the top of the board or other table. And when you're playing pinball, there's something about it. There's something about how the ball is. You can tell when it's at an angle, like this pseudo kind of tilted angle almost. You can tell when the ball is moving slower at the top and then slowly getting faster and faster. It just feels right. It feels like a pinball
game. It's a good machine that's how good it is. It feels like a machine.
It feels like a machine.
I think it would be cool if they kept making them and modernizing it, but they, as far as I know, they don't. And why would they?
No, why would you? I mean, because the weight is the physics are fantastic. I mean, there's other people making
These games, those Zen Pinball, what's the other one?
They're
Pinball
insane.
Effects. Those are all pretty realistic.
Yeah, they're insane.
Yeah, I don't know why you'd go anywhere else for the realism anyway. But how about if I told you that Duke Nukem had a table? What would I tell
Hell
you?
Hell yeah, I'd say sign me up. Does he yell his, you know, does he yell like balls of steel?
Oh, hell yeah, he does. Of course he does.
Okay.
He has all sorts of inappropriate stuff, but this is a Duke Nukem table. This was developed by Wildfire Studios, published by GT Interactive. It's all the kind of action and attitude you might expect from Duke Nukem himself. This is back when people still loved Duke Nukem.
It was at the height of the Duke Nukem craze, 1998. Man, I was Duke Nukeman.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody was back then. Let's see if we can get a little audio out of it.
They were putting Duke everywhere. Can we put Duke in this?
Put some Duke in there.
Let's put him in it.
Stick some Duke in. Check this out.
Yeah, stick some Duke in.
I mean, that sounds like real everything about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's real assets from the games.
Yeah, again, my complaint is the same complaint, which is if you're going to do this, give me some video gamey stuff.
They did bring in John St. John, the voice actor, right?
Yeah, I don't mean that though. I mean, like, give me. Stuff. I want the board to not just be a board.
Right.
Keep saying a board.
You want Gibbs flying out of the board?
Yeah, I want some effects. I want like something changes drastically because I unlock something because you physically can't do that in the real world, but you can in a video game. I want some big old thing to go and then drop. And like being in a different place, like that creativity is key for me. But they chose.
You're
not
right.
To do
they don't really ever do that in any of these pinball games. You're right. They all just I don't know. The higher ups kind of go no, because I mean, why not have Duke just like bust through the table? You know, boom.
Yeah. That's why I love Nintendo. My two favorite video game pinball games are, well, my top three are Pokemon Pinball, GBA or GBA or Game Boy, either one of those versions is great. And Devil's Crush. Well, what do they all have in common? They don't adhere to. They're not grounded. They're like, hey, what if we did some stuff that we can do because this is the medium we're in. We're not trying to make a physical board or a table. I keep saying board. And the thing is, I understand there are going to be purists out there. They're like, well, no, I want it to be like a real board. Good news, everybody. Yeah. There's tons of that shit. There's tons of it. But if you really want like the gamified stuff, to me, these are not it, you know?
What's the holdback, you think? You think it's because when they're making these pinball games, they're like remembering the heady times when pinball games were at the top and they think that the people who are going to want to play these are pinball enthusiasts? Because I got to tell you, I don't think a pinball enthusiast gives one shit about a video game pinball. I could be wrong.
That's my
Prove
point.
Me wrong.
No, that's my point. Exactly. I don't think they do. And those that do, I'm sure there's some crossover. I like a good pinball machine, but I'm not like a purist about it. I just think if you're going to do this in this medium, then why don't you play within the medium's potential?
Right.
And some do and some don't. And I'll never understand why the ones that don't, unless they're trying to reproduce. Like Pinball FX makes a bunch of new pinball machines, right. Video game ones. And their goal is to replicate existing licensed tables right. in digital form. And they do an amazing job. Zen Pinball or whatever, Pinball Zen.
Zen Pim.
They do a similar thing, but they also have a bunch of boards that are wackadoo. And I lean toward them more because they're willing to get creative with it. Whereas these guys are like, oh, we want to have the exact thing, the way the next generation Star Trek machine was laid out. Every little detail and sound. I understand the value of that, but that's not why I come to video game pinball, you know?
Right.
So this is a me thing. I realize that. And people are going to, you know, your mileage is going to definitely vary. But for Scott and his life.
And I got to say, we haven't talked about the control schema for pinballs. Now, the early 8-bit stuff was mostly a left button or left on your D-pad. And then what our furthest face button was. I think it was the A button on the NES. As we get further into these systems, like in the 16-bit, we start getting, bumper buttons and stuff. We might start using those for our flippers and things. Mm-hmm. But then once we get past that, it changes a good bit. And hey, I like my favorite pinball game is on a handheld. I do not like sitting on my couch and I do not like sitting at my desk playing pinball.
100%
pinball
agree.
To me. Yep. Is a portable game.
I mean, I did them on TVs, but I agree
with
you.
I've done
it
before.
I agree with you. If it's on a handheld, that's where I'd rather play it. These days, mm-hmm. all of these are more fun on the Amberneck or on my Steam Deck or something like that. I'd much rather play in that way.
And I wonder if you could. Now, that's one of the things like the Asus. Like, I wonder if you can, I can hold my Steam Deck vertically. Are there any games that play vertically?
Oh, probably. I don't know which. I mean, they'd have to be. Mm-hmm. If they're retro games, I don't know.
Right.
I mean, the emulator would have to do it, right? The emulator would have to support it.
Right.
And maybe they do. I don't know of any. But most of the ones I'm enjoying, for example, are they were designed to scroll on a 4x3 or whatever the ratio was.
Right.
Which we're now going to talk about because my favorite is now on tap. Okay?
And beer tap.
You may... beer tapper, my favorite game to ever feature a pinball. if you never played it, I feel bad for you, but the games are Pokemon Pinball, $19.99 for the GBA, and later, Pokemon Pinball for the GBA, or sorry, that was for just the GB, for the Game Boy.
GB.
They had another Pokemon Pinball, Sapphire, and...
good old Sapphire and...
Whatever the other one was.
Sapphire and Ruby?
It's Ruby and Sapphire, that's it. And that one, to me, is the ultimate. I absolutely love that game. Those watching at home, you saw this as our background today. It's fully scrolling. It's an improvement on the original in almost every possible stinking way. Absolutely wonderful, amazing game that if you haven't been playing this even lately, you're missing out. Pokemon Pinball keep you there for hours. The whole goal is to capture every Pokemon. I think it's just the initial 150 of the original, the OG Pokemon. I could be wrong on that, but each time you play one of these two boards, comes with two boards, Sapphire and Ruby. They're totally different than each other, which I love. Ball physics is realistic enough, but slow enough not to be insane.
I mean, you're shooting Pokeballs, right? I mean...
Yeah, it's a Pokeball.
And, yeah, it's a Pokeball.
The way the world... This is, again, how to make a video game 101 out of a physical experience. There are animals and Pokemon and weird shit everywhere that would never be on a physical board. You're time traveling. You're jumping through portals. When a Pokemon gets loose and you have to capture it, you got to whack it with the ball three times. It's like, hey, pinball, what if you were also a video game and you were amazing? That's Pokemon Pinball. It's so good.
What? You reckon like Pikachu's inside that ball getting tossed around?
No. No,
and
it's
then,
empty.
Like, once you release him, he's like, oh, and he like...
No, because it's empty. Pokemon's down in your little trough thing. You see him down there? Or not Pokemon. Pikachu. So look down
but
there.
Aren't
Pikachu.
Aren't supposed to catch him with the Pokeball?
No. You never capture him. You only capture... Well, you capture everything else, but that's the ball you capture him with. So you're never whacking it around with a creature in the ball.
Once you get a creature, then...
Then that ball's done. You get a new ball.
Oh, okay.
Fresh ball. Just like in Pokemon. You've used
very
a ball.
Good thinking.
Now, you don't run out of balls. Well, you do if you lose, just like you do in pinball.
I was worried there for a minute.
If you charge up the little Pikachu guy, when a ball goes down one of the left or right channels where you normally lose the ball, he'll go like he's going to fart, and he'll electrify the ball and it'll fly out.
Oh, I thought he was going to flap it with his tail, but he just does that, huh?
Just does that. He uses his powers. Mm-hmm. And there's all this sound and music and stuff that comes from the game. This is
sound
probably the most
music.
That Amber Nick, if I had a slash plate on it, it would be 90% this game. This is how much I play this game. Again, nothing wrong with the GBA or the GA Game Boy game, but the GBA game is a huge leap forward, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it never gets old.
Is this you playing? This guy sucks.
No, this guy's bad. I don't know who this is.
Okay.
I'm way better than this. I can't tell how many Pokemon I've caught, probably 30.
How much credit do you, okay, when you're playing pinball, how much credit do you take for your luck? Does that make sense?
I think luck will always play a factor for people. So early in a pinball game, I think it's like 90% luck, 10% skill. But as you play and get used to the table and how mechanically it's going to work, and you get a handle for whatever the ball physics are for that particular game, I think you can change that ratio to like 70% skill, 30% luck. I think that's where you want to end up.
I think the skill gives you the best opportunity for continued play, increasing your opportunities for success, right?
Yes. The skill increases your chances of living to have better luck, longer.
Right.
That's a good way of putting it. Because at some point, even if you knock the ball into the right little zone and it needs to be doing something up there, it still needs to do the thing it's doing. And that requires luck and physics and timing. And you just got lucky. And there's no getting around that. But the game has lots of ways to extend the life of your play. There's a great leaderboard thing at the end. It's not internet connected, obviously. It's a GBA game, but it's a nice way of tracking where you've been and how much better you're doing now. I guess I just explained how scoreboards work to people. I don't know why I did that.
Wait. Now, what happened to that?
Hold on. It's a very expansive
concept.
Are
you explaining cryptocurrency? Yeah. Is this a pyramid scheme?
This is pretty highfalutin stuff here. Anyway, game is rad. Can't say enough about it. I would play, if you said, hey, Scott, you know that whole thing, you're stuck on a desert island, you have a game machine and unlimited battery life, what do you play? It might be this. That's how much I love it. I never get tired of it. I can always come back to it. Changing tables is a breeze.
I always love how argumentative we are as people. Because you can't even get the question out of, what would be the thing you would have on an island if you was... We all know what you're asking.
We know what you mean.
But then we all have to go, well, how many batteries do I have? Does that unlimited batteries, moron?
Yeah. Yeah. All
that's not a vector in this question.
Right. That's a good point. Also, I'll say this for Pokemon fans, obviously there's a lot for you to like because this is a Pokemon game, but I'm not a Pokemon guy. I don't really get into it. I don't play the regular Pokemon games that much here
and
there.
You're in for the physics.
I don't do Go. I don't do any of that. This is my favorite, by far, hands down, the best Pokemon game, not just best pinball video game, but best Pokemon game I ever played.
Interesting.
And I tried playing most of them.
This is the only one you played, though,
right? No, I played them. I just don't get into them. Okay. I just can't.
Okay.
Like, even Ruby and Sapphire, I tried both.
What about the cartoons? Have you ever watched the cartoons?
Nah, kind of. They're all right. I don't know. Right. They're too anime. And I like some anime. I don't like Pokemon.
Yeah. I hear you. You've come a long way.
Yeah. And I respect it as a property. This is no shade at anything. It just has never really been my thing. I skew a little older for it, all that. But this, killer time waster. I love this game. A few other mentions. Ping Pong was a 1974 arcade game. This is a really early and bad example of video game pinball. Yeah.
1974. I had no idea. Yeah. Atari was doing all the Pong games. They said, no, it'd be clever. Let's do pinball.
Pong.
Yeah. It's just as basic as you would think. It's vector graphics.
Yeah.
Big old fat paddles that are slow and ganky. Collision boxes and everything that you would imagine. Ping pong, look it up, watch some dummy play it. Don't bother.
Yeah. And if you think we're saying ping pong, we're saying pin pong, P-I-N.
Yeah, there you go. P-I-N. I think I can never tell. There's two different places. It's either P-I-N no space pong or P-I-N sp- space bong.
Yeah. Either way, the P, the second P is capitalized, so they try to separate it that way, I guess.
Right, right, right.
There's also Wildfire electronic pinball game. This came out in 79. For some reason, Brian Ibbett loves this thing. It's like a, a handheld. It's a whole device. Mm-hmm. We mentioned earlier today we were going to talk about this, and it's worth looking at. Here, chat, you can see this thing. It was kind of LED based, you know, like the football game, like Coleco football and all that. It's
real,
like that.
A real pinball you could have at home.
Yeah.
And that's what we were doing with the video game stuff too. It was just trying to get pinball at home because who's got the room for a pinball table and whose mom is going to let you sit there all night going balls bouncing around.
I find this stuff like Game and Watch stuff. I find them infuriatingly horrible. I can't play them.
Yeah, me too.
But if you were a kid of a certain age and you were into this, I could see the charm, you know?
Yeah.
I could see it. I played a lot of that football game. What was that called? Coleco football? No, football.
It's football. I think it was just
football. Called football?
Scott. It was probably just football.
That little green thing with like too many batteries in it?
Yeah, just football.
And these little green and little red dots would go across the screen. And it's
maybe called head-to-head football. It might have been the most, that could have been the most of the name. That, nothing more than that.
Coleco football. I think that was it. Chat room says that also. Yeah, that sounds right. Anyway, if you want to try Wildfire, well, I guess get on eBay and see if they have any.
Wildfire, about $40.
Good luck to you.
I was trying to find some for Ibbett's birthday, but yeah.
$40. Jeez.
$40.
Jeez.
Jesus Christ, man.
The other one we should have probably. The other one we could have mentioned was, I mean, there are a bunch of others. There's a Pac-Man one that was on GBA. Right. There was that weird Mario one where he would roll into a ball. Forgot the name of it.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a thing for a minute, but. Sonic Spinball for a lot of people has some potential for them. They love it.
Yeah. I personally was going to leave. I looked at Sonic Spinball because I was like, oh, yeah, that's, I remember this game. And I remember enjoying it. And after I started playing, I'm like, okay, this is too much platforming and not, it just has elements of pinball in it. So it didn't quite fit in with the rest of the game.
If anything,
you know, one of these kids is doing its own thing.
If anything, it helps. It's a little to my direction that I was talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, you know, I don't know, too much video game in your pinball. It's hard to explain.
Right, right, right.
There's a balance. I think it's hard. It's not. This is not an easy thing to balance and get right. And Sonic Spinball gets a lot right. Gets a few things kind of janky. My biggest problem with it is it feels like its frame rate is like 15 frames and I hate it.
It's really weird for a Genesis game to be doing all this wonk, but it definitely does wonk. I don't know what's going on, but the frame rate's very low. Like Scott said, the physics are really weird. And the maps, sometimes Sonic will get in a really bad rut. And unless you move him, which you can have like influence on him while he's moving around. It's not like bumping the table. But you can't have influence on the character and make him break out of certain things.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit. It's just too not pinball. It has pinball elements, but I don't know.
I respect it for what it is, and I did play the hell out of it, but I don't.
It's a good game.
It doesn't get the balance right, that's all.
Right.
So there you have it. That's our look at all these pinball games. Now, there are obviously some we missed, some that are bad. Some that are maybe great and we missed it. And you guys all have to tell us all about them. But I would love to get your feedback on what do you think. Now, one of the things people always ask us is like, where can I get this stuff now? Emulation. There's online stores full of this stuff. Steam, PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo. They all have smatterings of various games we talked about here. Real hardware, of course. But here's what I really want to tell you guys to go out and get. There are two games made by a developer. I forgot their name. First one's called Demon's Tilt. It's a couple years old. This game is only $10. It is heavily influenced by Devil's Crush.
Yeah, yeah.
Heavily influenced in all the best ways. This game was free on Epic a couple of months ago. It's everywhere for $10 now if you don't own it. A must get if you've got any kind of portable device. Like I'm playing this on Steam Deck and it's heaven. That game is amazing. All right. So Demon's Tilt. Big ups for that. But then, just a week or two ago, same company put out Xeno Tilt, which is a little more on the alien side of things.
Yeah, that sounds like they're taking the same path, right? Because we got alien,
big fresh. Time. They're clearly impressed by that stuff. But it's called Xeno Tilt : Hostile Pinball Action. And these are must-play games.
Why is this pinball so hostile towards me?
If you like video game pinball, you'd be it'd be weird for you not to play this for real. I mean this legitimately, like, why aren't you playing these games? Because they are so good that they deserve to be seen. And people may just like slip by their radar and go, well, I don't know. It's another game, I guess. That's cool. It's so much cooler than you think.
What am I made out of? Video game time?
Yeah, come on, man. A video game man. Here you go, video. Here, chat room. Here's some video so you can see a little better. This is Xenotilt. I played a bunch before the show, too, because I was just in the mood. It's crazy. It's flashy. It's full of insane graphics. It zooms and scrolls, and it feels like...
Wait. It zooms and scrolls?
And scrolls. And you can control how much it does either of those things. If you want the whole board to fit in your screen, you can set it to do that. If you want it to be slightly different zoom level when it's multi-ball versus single ball, you can control that. You just do it all in the options. It's rad. It's like five layers of pinball. It's so good. I can't say enough about this. And it's only $15, this new one. $10 for the old one. And they're both great. Recommended. Big fat recommendation.
Sign me up.
You wrote down Pro Pinball Ultra, which I am not familiar with. Tell me more about pinball.
Yeah, it's just one more of those more modern versions of, this is the ones people tipped off me as well, but it's called Pro Pinball Ultra. It's just a plain old, or most realistic pinball simulation. So if you're looking for that real experience and not arcadey like Scott just showed you, look at all those lights and stuff. Look how the thing lights up. It's got everything that you would expect if you were a nice new arcade pinball machine. So sexy. Look at those polygons and everything else. You can't because they're all smooth textured.
Yeah. 2016, this came out. Still got good reviews. Plays on all three major computer IO or OSs. I can't speak. Windows, Mac, and Steam OS. $14.99. Not bad.
Yep, not bad at all. And then there's, of course, right off that is a couple of the games like Pinball Arcade from 2016. Also very positive. You can find lots of pinball games. Just about any time you turn around, you'll find a good pinball game.
Yep, Demon's Tilt and Xenotilt, though.
Yeah.
For my money.
Oh, that's unique. I like that.
I bought those as soon as I could get them. They're so cool.
Yep.
That's it for that. Let's get right to this.
Destroy
now.
It.
Time to play Guess My Game. That's where we take an old game, play some audio, and try to stump each other.
I thought this was called Suck My Game. It's not.
It's Suck My Video Game.
Suck My Game.
The segment. It is, the rules are 3 questions each. No more than that. We can give each other hints as much as we want to, I suppose. We get a year, we get a platform, and that's about all we have. So we're going to start with mine. This is a Commodore 64 game. I may have gone other places, but for now it's Commodore.
I almost got a Commodore 64 game too.
Did you really?
But all the ones I were looking at were like they were not making use of the SID chip. And I love the SID chip. You know, that is the audio chip in the Commodore, and it is beautiful and gorgeous.
It's really
sexy.
Good.
All the ones I were getting more like, pew.
Yeah.
Pew.
Ping pong.
I was like, come on, man. Yeah. Give me some. I agree. Give me some.
Well, this is a C64 game. It also showed up on the Apple IIGS, DOS, Apple II, Atari ST, Amiga, BBC Micro, a whole bunch of other stuff. The Archimedes. Who made that?
Archimedes.
Have you heard of that? Hold on. What is that? 1987 Archimedes, made by Acorn Computers.
Oh, Acorn. I got to get into the Acorn Computers. I haven't done that.
These were ARM-based CPUs back then. Wow.
Yeah.
Now we're getting back to those again. People love
getting
the ARM.
Back to them. Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, here's some audio. See if you can guess it. 1987 is the year. I played this on an Apple, I believe, but this is the C64 version. Here you go.
I give to you. Oh, no, this is. Just kidding. No
clue. Really? You knew already?
No idea.
It changes up. It's not all just this. Although I will say the game's mostly music. They don't really have sound effects in it.
We're from the same year. Wouldn't it be funny if you had the 64 version of what I have?
Oh, that'd be a hoot, right?
Yeah, I did the arcade version.
There's no way, though. Here you go. Some more.
Oh, this sounds good. I know this. What is this?
C64, baby.
Oh, I know this. God, I love that sound, too. That is such a SID chip, boy. Listen to that.
This part should be familiar. Now it gets a little sappy.
And now the RPG part. We didn't cover the RPG pinball game, by the way, that
no,
we didn't talk about.
No, that's we didn't. Okay. It's a little newer, though, isn't it?
No, not the one I'm thinking of. It's for the NES.
Okay.
Much older.
I know there's a newish one. Any ideas or any questions?
That one part right there sounds like a Shinobi game almost or something. A
little bit. This bit here?
Yeah.
Well, I'll say that that puts you in a good zone to think that. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
Yeah, well, except I'll answer your questions, but I'm not going to give any more hints.
Oh, yeah. I get questions. Sorry, I forgot to get questions. Okay. So with that Oriole music going on, it definitely sounds like I may be a ninja.
Oh,
is this
okay.
A game based on like a ninja? Maybe not Shinobi, but
I'm going to say the answer to that is 100% yes. It is based on a ninja.
Okay.
This is good. You're doing a good job so far.
All right. I can't say who is a developer. I got to say, is it a developer, right? I can't saying who is a developer is too vague, right?
I think that's okay. They're your questions. I think I should have to answer anything you say other than what's the name of this game.
Right.
So I can tell you the developer and stuff.
What's the name of the game?
What is the name of that game?
You said it was Commodore 64, Apple GS.
Yeah, Apple II, Apple II GS, BBC Micro,
right,
DOS.
I think I had this, and I think we covered this earlier this year, too. Is it The Last Ninja?
Holy shit, dude. It is The Last Ninja.
Okay.
Do we have a sound for that? No. No.
Welcome to the adventure!
Okay, we'll do that one.
Yeah, because I played this one earlier this year when we were doing... what was we doing? It wasn't Shinobi, but I played it for one of our reviews, and I ended up not using it.
Oh, was this one of
but
them?
But I grew up on this, and my friend had it. I think my friend had it on Apple II, and I had it on the Commodore 64.
Yeah, the C64 version had way better sound. The Apple II sounded like garbage. A lot of beeps.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah, it was poop. Congratulations, Brian. You did it. Now, and you did it with only one question. I'm very impressed. Now yours. Why don't you tell me a little bit about this? Same year, what else?
Same year, this time, we're at the arcade, and it's not an arcade version of The Last Ninja. I'll give you that. How's that?
Okay, fair enough. Here goes. Oh my gosh, what is this? '87.
I'll say this: the developer we've talked about the developer one time today.
Did we?
Yeah. It was written out on a board.
Written out on a board.
On one of the pinball machines. Except it was written out in something else, but it was something similar to the.
Oh, so probably Bally.
There you go.
Okay, so Bally. Shit.
Bally okay. Shit.
Let me think
right.
What I can ask here.
Wooge Man says Road Blasters. That's not it. I almost did Road Blasters, though.
I like Road Blasters a lot. It's a good game.
Yeah,
this,
hope
is
hope
stumping
this is
me.
Road Blasters.
This sound is freaking me out.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's typing, but I think he's shooting.
It does kind of sound like typing when you listen to it. I didn't think about it until we started listening to the audio. It definitely sounds like typing.
All right. Is this a... was this popular?
Let me see. Was it popular?
You know what I mean? Pac-Man level.
It was definitely pop... No, it wasn't Pac-Man level. It was definitely popular in my group. I'm trying to see how it did financially because I'm kind of, I'm not sure how I'm not sure the popularity. Like I said, in our groups, it was definitely very, very popular.
Okay. In that case, arcade, right?
Arcade.
Damn. I don't even
damn,
know.
Damn. I wish I was your lover.
I don't even know what question to ask.
Won't you ask me if it's an alien based game?
Oh, is this, I think I'm okay. I'm going to use my next two.
All right, do it.
Answers. Oh, what was that called? It's like
you'll
aliens.
Get it. You'll get it once. You'll know it once. It's like suddenly, it's like, oh yeah.
Now you said aliens.
You haven't thought about this game in decades. Let me tell you that.
It's not Xenomorph.
Kind of close.
Xenomorph.
No.
What was that called?
You're close. But that's the xenomorphs are what is in.
It's in Aliens. It's not Xenomorph, is it? It's Xeno something. Xeno. Oh shit! I played this. You duck down and go through little things. It was inspired by Aliens 100%. There were facehuggers.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
I know this game.
And I'll even give you this. It was a 4-player game.
Yeah. And
like levels. You know, had different levels all playing at the same time. It's a very unique looking game.
Oh, shit testicles.
Shitticles.
Let me think for a minute. Let me get another question in. Was it... you already said it was Bally's. No. Bally. Was Williams and Bally's working together then?
They didn't on this.
That may not be my question or not. Yeah, I don't know.
They did not. But of course, they were... it was Bally Midway at this point, so there was all that merging and stuff, so...
Was it... Multiplayer, was it competitive multiplayer or co-op?
I think it was co-op, right? I think that's how we played it. It was co-op, right?
I don't know.
I don't think it was a competitive mode. I think it was only.
Well, I played a game called Zybots when I was in high school.
Right, right. It would not be Zybots.
Is it Zybots?
It's not Zybots.
Okay, because it was like Doom kind of, and it was co-op, and you had your own little screen plus a map and some other stuff.
Right.
All right, I'm out of questions. I got to guess. I cannot remember the name of that game. I know this. Hold on.
What if I was to call you on the phone?
Xenophobe.
There you go.
Is that
a big old xenophobe?
That's it. Xenophobe.
Yeah, xenophobe.
Oh, that's the game. That's totally the game I was thinking of.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Thank the Lord on high. That's insane how hard that was to get there.
The chat room was doing pretty good. Wooj Man, after the Road Blaster's bad guess, came back with Xenophobe. Very good.
Oh, dude, I have some news about Wooj Man. You want to hear my Wooj Man news?
Oh, please give me some Woojies.
I only saw it right before the show because I've been busy today. I just barely saw this.
Yes.
Let me pull it up here. He has finished.
I know this news.
Hold on, where is it? There he is, Wooj Man. Wooj Man, why aren't you on here? Why? What's going on? Wooj, 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 Wooj. I don't see Wooj.
Wooj.
Oh, there he is. He finished the mod, the deal, the Tecmo Super Bowl ROM hack.
Yes.
Frog Pants Football. We're all in this. Not only are we in this, all the patrons, core patrons, and Play Retro patrons are in this thing.
That's right. You got your name up in that business, and I played it for about 5 seconds earlier. And I got to go back. I was playing it while I was at the dentist office, and they called me back, and I was like, come on, I'm just trying to play for a minute. I want to see my name.
Yep. So I'm going to make sure this gets put up in a place where everybody can get to it. Yeah. I need to give you guys a link to his donation thing, because I got that too. So if you want to help out projects like this, especially this one,
I do.
Check this out. I put it in the chat. tiny.cc/frogpantsfootball. Simple as that. And
what a perfect timing too, Wooj. Wooj working really hard, getting it ready just in time for the NFL kickoff.
Football season, baby.
Woo! Football seasons.
Yeah, it's really, he's done some really cool work on this, and he's been at it for a while. So, show some love his direction. I can't wait to play it myself. I haven't had time yet, but I will tonight, and I'll make sure people can get their hands on this real soon. You hear?
Put your hands on it.
All right.
Not
We both won today, so feel good about that. I also have some listener feedback.
Welcome to the Treasure Room.
I forget about this guy.
Try this level now.
Oh, that guy. He's so great. here we go. This is a email. This came to playretroshow@gmail.com. This is from Twigs462.
Oh, Twigs.
Do you know Twigs? Are you familiar?
Twigs.
Name's not familiar to me. It says, hey, Scott and Brian, longtime listener, first-time caller. I'm close to the same age as you guys, and I love the banter. Honestly, this show brings me back to my childhood in ways most cannot meet. You guys are great, truly. Well, thank you. That's very nice.
Oh, very nice.
Concerning Play Retro 84, Ghouls and Ghosts and Goblins and Gargoyles,
One of the best episodes ever.
It was pretty good. When you guys were going on about clones and related games, man, I discovered one that I thought you were going to mention but didn't. So allow me to fill you in on a hidden gem. I was lucky enough to score limited edition limited run games pack of a game called Cursed Castile. Castile. Okay. I guess I'd say it. There's a link here on Wikipedia about it. Says, like its roots, it's wicked hard, but pays homage to the original. I think you guys mentioned you wanted a remake that wasn't 3D, first or third person, and I agree. I think this one might hit that mark. What do you think? Best, Twigs. Well, Twigs 462, I'm pulling this up right now.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now. Yes, this very much meets... this is looking good.
Yep.
Yeah, very positive. 2016. Oh, I love how he runs even. He even does the run.
Oh, it's on the on the eShop. You can get it now. This thing.
Yeah, I'm looking at it on Steam.
So Maldita
Castilla.
Is that a
EX?
Let's see who made this.
I've yet to see him get into his skivvies yet, though. I need him to
2016. This is a recent game. I want to get this.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm gonna buy this game. Hold on.
I could spend real money on this game.
And it's balls hard, he says.
It is. Looks balls hard.
Let's see. Gameplay.
I mean, not as balls hard as some of these pinball games today, but still.
Okay, here we go. Let's take a look at this here in chat room. Let's have a look at this. Oh, yeah. Look at this little guy. Oh, I love the look.
He's got the look.
This looks hard. I can tell it's going to be hard.
I'm going to curse.
I'm going to curse a lot. Here, what does it sound like? Let's see. Ooh, some old school sounds. Sounds like a Genesis. Listen to this. That is the most Genesis-ass sounding looking thing I've seen in months. That's amazing. All right, worth checking out. That's available now, and that's available on modern systems as well. So you can go play it. Thank you for that. Appreciate that very much. That's going to do it for emails. Big thanks to everybody for doing that. Brian, you should buy that and play it.
Oh, it's too late. I'm buying it right now.
How much is it?
$11.
Oh, cheap.
Cheap. They're giving it away.
Buy. Go. Everyone take 20 bucks. Use 10 on this and use the other 10 on that Demon's Tilt video game. You're going to walk away 20 bucks richer for doing it. Okay. All right.
Actually 20 bucks lighter, but
well, it'll be worth
$20 worth of valuable.
Yes. You'll feel
you've made a good exchange.
It's all right. Yes. Thank you. That's what I was trying to say. You did a better job than me. Next week, you guys get ready. Do you know what we're going to talk about? I do. We're going to talk about Simpsons Road Rage and Simpsons Outrun. Maybe inverses those two things, but here's the thing.
I mean, to change it. That's Hit and Run, by the way.
Oh, Hit and Run, not Outrun.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Simpsons Hit and Run is one of the greatest GameCube PS2 / original Xbox games ever made, period.
Yes. We got one that's a Crazy Taxi ripoff, and we have one that's a GTA ripoff.
And the GTA ripoff rules. Both of them are good, but I think the GTA ripoff in particular is special. It is a fantastic video game. In fact, if I'm going to put up all GTA clones, this might be my favorite. That isn't GTA or isn't, you know, I don't know, Saints Row 3 or something. Simpsons Hit and Run is insanely good. Road Rage also good, but you're going to hear me gush about Hit and Run because I love Hit and Run.
I love both of them. It seems to be a very only reason why I put Versus in it. Simpsons Road Rage versus Simpsons Hit and Run. Only reason why I did it is because it is a hot topic on the internet for some reason.
Yeah,
I don't think you got to Versus them. I think they're both fantastic, and one is supposed to be a follow-up to the other. Mm. And one of them got sued for being too much like Crazy Taxi.
Yeah, and one of them got shut down recently as a fan project to modernize it in Unreal 4 or Unreal 5.
Oh, did they shut that down because somebody was redoing all the models and stuff, right?
Yeah.
That gets shut down? Oh, that makes me sad.
Either that or they never planned. They just wanted to show they could do it. I think maybe that was part of it. They weren't really going to release it.
What I think that makes a lot of these times when these guys do it, they actually put a call out to the developer studios and say, hey, I'm going to keep making this until you either do it or you hire me to do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes that happens. Sometimes
I wish they would have.
Get involved, yeah. So.
I really wish they would. I wish they would, at the very least, put this game out in, you know, 6x9, or not 6x, right. 16x9. And I don't even care if it's, it could be 1080p. I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. Because some people are going to go, road rage and hit and run. That's not retro. And I'll be like, hey, one of them just turned 20 this year and the other one just turned 23.
It's and retro.
Once we start
enough.
Playing them, you'll look at it and go, oh yeah, that's retro.
No, we've said 20 years is our limit anyway. Right, we're over it. We're over 20 years.
But I like to be, you know, to give those people a hard time.
Yeah. All those old guys that listen to us.
Right.
Anyway,
we should only be talking about pinball
for the rest of time. It's just a pinball podcast. Welcome to the PP. Yeah. The PP, everybody. The PP.
The PP.
That is going to do it for us. Big thanks, everybody, for listening. And by the way, if you haven't joined us already, please do so at patreon.com/playretro. It's a great place to show your love for the show and get some cool benefits while you're there. People like Dennis Rhodes, Gordon Williamson, Scott McKeon, Brian. Is that Brian? Brian?
Because
look how it's spelled. B-R-A-H-A-N-E.
I know, I see it. It's Brahane.
Yeah.
Brahane.
Plus these other folks. If you want to be like them, have your name read on the show, but also just, you know, get a great
have
commercial
for your name butchered on the show is what you mean to say.
Pre-show content every week. Other fun stuff. Today's pre-show was great. We talked about some kick-ass stuff. So check it out. That's over at patreon.com/playretro. Big thanks to everybody who already supports us. We really appreciate it. In the meantime, keep sending us those texts and voicemails, 801-471-0462. And you can also email us, playretroshow@gmail.com. That's going to do it for us. Between now and next time, go play something retro. And we'll see you next week.
You bunch of pinball wizards.
Pinball wizards.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.